Hey there. Hi, Karina. How are you? Wow, I look like a mess. You going to hop on here? I was wondering if it was just going to be me today. Are you at work? Are you able to chat with me?
Hey, is it just me?
Hey, Karina, can you come on camera with me and hang out?
See. Yes, I can. Give me one second.
Gosh, my
I'm
hair is a
just
wreck.
messing with my
Sorry.
phone. Okay, Wyatt, hang on.
Mommy, here's the remote.
Okay,
How
sit.
are you, Karina? Can you give me an update?
Yes, I can. I'm just turning a show on for the kids, so give me one
I'm sorry,
second.
I'm eating a protein bar.
Hang on, honey. Yes, it's coming. Yeah.
I'm wondering where everyone is. I'm gonna message some of the girls.
Right, I'm gonna choose VeggieTales. Oh, what? See?
Moxie, no. Down. Down. Okay.
Hey, Karina, if you have any questions, I'm here for you. If this is your first happy hour, I don't think so, but I've been recovering, so I'm a little bit out of whack here. There you are.
Hey,
Hey,
can you hear
I
me?
didn't think it was your first. I recognize you.
No.
I
Okay, you can say hi.
can't hear you.
Hi.
Hi.
Okay. I'm gonna turn a show on
Is
for
wait, let me
them.
check my input here because I'm not hearing you.
Yes.
There
Okay.
you are.
Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's far away. I'm just gonna turn a show on for the kids. So
Okay.
give me 1 minute and then I'll be able to talk.
Perfect. Yeah, I was wondering if because it's a holiday, if there's a lot of people that decided not to come.
Oh, that's true, because I know some kids have off school, so
Yeah.
I don't know if that makes a difference or not, but here,
I'm sure
Wyatt,
it
do
does with my
you
VBAC mamas because you guys all have babies, you know?
know? Right. Okay,
I'm
Wyatt, do not
sure.
let Moxie get your food, okay?
Oh my gosh, I love those. So is one Wyatt? Is that what you said?
Wyatt, yeah, Wyatt and Eliana.
Yeah, I only watched that one.
Okay, hang on. We're gonna start with VeggieTales. You want VeggieTales?
No. Actually, yes. Just use the cheese we're going.
Get that
Okay. The
Okay, I'll find it in a second. Foxy.
Yeah, that one. No, not that one. No. Where's the
I have to find it. You have to give me a second, okay?
cheeseburger
Sorry, Trish. It's
No
taking longer
worries.
than I thought.
It's no problem at all.
Mommy, what's her name?
Trish, you want to say hi while mommy finds
Hi.
VeggieTales?
Hi, how are you?
Good.
Do you like VeggieTales?
Yeah.
Me
Here you
too.
go.
Okay, let me find the
Why?
cheeseburger.
Mommy, I want to watch Bluey. No, Mommy, I want to watch the cheeseburger. There's the hamburger
Yeah,
one. I want to
I
watch the
see that.
hamburger
I
one.
see that. This one's gonna play first, okay?
Okay. That's an ad.
Wyatt, can you eat your sandwich? Oh my, honey. Oh my. Come,
Is
Moxie.
that the
Yeah, it is.
cheeseburger
Moxie, come on.
one?
Come on.
Why?
Okay.
How are
you? Try this now.
No worries.
Good. I actually have an appointment today.
Oh, nice.
And I was trying to think, I'm like, man, what do I need to be like talking with them about? And I'm like drawing a blank.
Your 33 weeks.
33.
Have you talked to them about some of the stuff that you want for your birth? Do you feel like they're pretty much on board with that?
So I haven't talked as far as like plan and stuff yet. No, because back when they were first asking, I was like, well, at this point, you know, I wasn't really thinking of anything specific. And that was before I started all of your stuff.
Yeah.
And then I had a couple appointments where I had one of the doctors who I knew, I was like, yeah, it's not worth it talking about it with him.
Yeah.
And because I knew I was planning to see the midwives after that. So I think today is one of the midwife appointments, if I remember. So, so yeah, and I won't have any kids with me at this one too. So
have you hopefully... Have you printed out the provider questionnaire in the course?
No, I that's what I also wanted to look at was where to print all of the, like the papers and like even just where to print the stuff to have in the labor room too, with positions and yeah, plan and all of those things. Are they on the...
They're in your Kajabi app.
Okay.
I'm looking now to tell you exactly. I believe the entire ebook is in the first module, but I just want to make sure I'm right on that.
Okay.
Yeah, so in module one, it says course companion ebook, and everything is in that. Now, for the positions okay. and stuff, that is in purposeful positioning.
Okay.
And I'm
getting that. The other one you're saying is in, it would be in the VBAC lab.
Yeah, one. In module okay. one. And then you can download it and one. Print specific pages. Your provider interview is in there, and that's got all the important VBAC questions.
Okay.
And I would just pick a few that are really important to you and go over them at each appointment.
Yeah, okay.
I'm looking for where the printable is for. I'm looking to see. I know it's in here somewhere, but I'm not sure. So I'm trying to find it. I do know it's in here. I just don't know where.
Okay. That's fine. Even if I know that it's where to start looking.
Yeah. We started watching. The position ones should be in your, I mean, it is in the purposeful positioning, but let me know if you don't find it, because I'm not sure exactly where it's at.
Yeah. Okay. I could even try and pull it up my computer and a little bit
through too to see where I thought it would be that made sense. It is not in there that so yeah, anyway.
Yeah, okay. And I don't know. Yeah, because I have, so I don't know if you remember, but I have had a VBAC. My second was a VBAC. So
yeah, I remember. I don't think you're going to have any problems at all.
Yeah, that's kind of, I mean, obviously that's what I'm thinking. I know I need to not assume it, but yeah, I'm thinking there's no, so my goal is to not have an epidural this time.
Yeah.
So that's like the new goal for this round.
Well, but. And my guess is it's going to be a shorter, more intense labor. Because the short ones usually are a little more intense. So with that, really your mind, well, mindset is key anyway.
Right.
But
right.
you really need to be prepared. Like this may be short and fast and furious. You
know? Yeah.
Like, so it's just having those coping tools ready and just reminding yourself every time you're like, oh my God, I cannot do this. Just remind yourself, this is going to be quick. This is intense. I got it. I'm doing it.
Yeah.
I'm fine. You know, and just keep reminding yourself of that, because really I would consider this like a second baby.
Right.
Type of labor.
Right. Yeah, that's what I'm thinking too, because I didn't have any labor with my first. So,
and how old is your second?
He's two. He'll be 2.5.
Yeah. So your body still remembers exactly what to do.
Yeah.
How long was your labor with him?
It was 24 hours. But part of that was because I kind of stalled out when I got to the hospital. Then stalled out again when I got the epidural later on. I didn't get the epidural right away. Because I was 4 centimeters when I got there. And then it kind of just like slowed down on its own. Even though I felt like I was still moving around, I felt like I wasn't, it's not like I was just like sitting there, but and then after, I don't know, like 10 more hours, I think I got the epidural.
And when you got when you went to the hospital, what would you say your contraction pattern was like? Do you remember?
So yeah, it was interesting. I started out, I was actually only at home for like maybe 2 hours. It was between an hour and two, because I started out at 3 to 5 minutes. Like it met the rule. I started out like 3 to 5 minutes, for lasting a minute. And like, they started out seeming like, oh, we're doing this, like right into it. Okay. So I called and they're like, yeah, come on in. And then they kind of slowed down from there and got more spaced out and sporadic. But at home, they were consistent for an hour at the right numbers.
This is why I do the different rule.
So
you 2 hours for a first time mom.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's how it can play out. Like, I feel like for it to really declare itself and be time to go to the hospital, it needs 2 hours of consistency for a first time mom.
Yeah.
For a second time mom, I recommend you do it 5-1-1.
Yeah. And I don't know, I wonder, I mean, when we called the triage nurse, I have no idea if she actually like saw in my chart that my first was no labor, which she probably didn't. She probably just, but yeah, so it all kind of stalled out. So I'm like, hey, if I could stay at home a lot longer this time.
I bet if you had stayed at home longer last time, you probably would have been progressing pretty right. Yeah. If you would have done the 4-1-2. Even with the 4-1-2, sometimes it's iffy. It really is iffy. So that's why I say 4-1-2.
And that makes sense. Yeah.
I think this one, listen to your body though.
Yeah.
Like if you're like, okay, she said 5-1-1, but I am feeling intense pressure. I'm shaking. Like,
Right. Cause I think I'd definitely be able to tell a difference, because I didn't really even get to that point until like way later on with Wyatt. So, what I do wonder is, I was like 41 and some change, and they were starting to talk about scheduling induction, and I was like, nope, don't want to do that. So, you know, I'm trying all the things. Yeah. And I did a midwife's brew that night that I went into labor. 2 hours later, contractions started. Yeah. So I wondered, I'm like, is there a chance that it like kickstarted things, but he wasn't like quite ready? And that's why it was kind of drawn out, because
very likely that it kickstarted kind of like a what I call like a Pitocin or type of labor,
like a natural,
like an induced labor pattern. With an induced labor pattern, it can be coming like really quick, but your body hasn't quite said, oh, okay, let me take over.
We're ready. We're doing this. I wondered if it was kind of, almost like a mini induction, and yet he wasn't like, he either wasn't quite there or
So but I don't know if it turned out well. So
it was fine. It worked out fine. It was just like, oh, this is not, you know, and then I had the back labor and stuff. And so I was like, this is not what I mentally prepared for.
And well, and the back labor probably was because you kind of forced him down into that spot when he didn't do it himself.
Right.
Because whenever you have back labor, it's usually a little bit of a wonky position or a straight OP baby.
Yeah. Yeah. And he was not OP when he came out, but the way he felt was like he probably was a little wonky in there up until that point. So
I would say he probably was, but I really think everything's going to go smoother this time.
Yeah.
The thing about the midwife's tale, the thing about anything is if your body's not ready, it won't work. Your body was obviously ready.
Right. Cause it was like, yeah, it was within 45 minutes, I had like a contraction. And then within 2 hours of drinking it, it was like, oh yeah, we're doing this.
Yeah, that was exactly my first two. I drank castor oil with Ian straight. That was what I was told to do. And he was my first. I did it at like 3 PM. I had him at 1 AM. So it was straight on. Second one, I drank it and then the evening went to bed and then woke up in labor and had him at 9 AM. So I drank it with Grace and didn't do a thing.
Yeah.
The midwife's brew did not do a thing.
So were you probably just like weren't ready?
I wasn't maybe not ready. Was different. The first two, I was after 40 weeks with Grayson. I had to be induced because I was on blood thinners. So I tried it and I was 38 and some change.
Oh, my
was not ready.
Yeah. That makes sense. Yeah.
It's just really nothing because people will be like, I have to be induced. What can I do? And I'm like, well, you can try all of this.
Yeah.
And hopefully it'll get your cervix ripe, but it probably won't put you into a spontaneous labor.
Yeah.
You know, unless they're off on their dates, because we really, unless we're IVF, we could be off by a week or two.
Right.
So there's that, you know, because some women don't keep track of their cycles, you know, like others. And then there's like a 5 day before your ovulation and 5 day after that you can get pregnant. Yep. So you can be off. So I think some women who try it earlier and it works, my guess is they're probably farther along than they thought.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. So, because I feel like most people, I mean, I guess I have some friends who have gone into labor at like 38 weeks with both of their kids, but it's not the norm. I know that. That's for sure.
Well, and again, that might be all due to their cycle.
And it could be off. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, they might be someone who has a longer cycle or shorter cycle and they're really 40 weeks, you know?
Right. I've learned so much because I was kind of irregular. So I, with my first, I had started doing ovulation strips, which again, it's nothing's guaranteed, but it did give me an idea that my ovulation was way later. It was like, you know, how average is day 14. I was more at like day 21.
Yeah.
And then as soon as I did that, we got pregnant the next month once I figured that out.
Yeah.
And so, yeah. But then I knew my dates were off by a week. But they said they wouldn't change the due date unless it was more than 7 days difference.
Yeah.
And that's exactly 7 days from what I was thinking I was probably. Yeah. So.
Well, and I've had that before with one of my, like, with Grayson, I knew exactly because I was working in California and my husband had come to visit me. He was only there for 5 days. Yeah, there was absolutely no chance that I got pregnant any other time.
Yeah, but that was this one for me. Yep.
And so in my head, I kept changing the dates when they would tell me, you know?
Yeah.
So that's what I'm saying. Like, it's just it's a weird, I wonder as our technology advances, if they'll get that to where they can actually figure it out to the day.
More specifically. Yeah. Cause it did make me wonder then because so again, she's the one that was my C-section and, they had me as 41 weeks. So, you know, past due and I had me at 40 weeks. So I'm like, I wonder if I would have had another week with her. But then the whole thing with the variability on the NST and that's probably different, but it did make me wonder. A little part of me was like, if I would have had this NST a week later, would have it been the same result? Would she been okay? Like,
would it been the what if, you know, I say let go of the what ifs. And when they start,
right.
There's literally nothing. I remember, you know, I've gone through some crazy situations in my life, and I've dealt with what ifs. And I had a friend that said, stop with the what ifs, like even if, yeah. you know. And so she had me switch them to even if, like, you can't yeah. go back and change it. You know, you right. can only change here and now what right. you can control. So,
right. yeah. you know. And I'm very much at peace with how it all went down. Like, I never felt like it was out of convenience or rush, especially after she came out. And right. Yeah, it was fine. I'm glad she came safely, is what it comes down to. So
yeah, and it's okay to let yourself grieve those losses.
But yeah, I definitely had to do that at first because yeah. I was like, I don't want this, you know, like I never thought I would have a C-section. And yeah.
Well, you know, it's so crazy. Like, even for me, with all the knowledge I have, when my daughter-in-law had Asa, she ended up, of course, she went to 41 and something. And I had already planned this weekend trip months in advance. And I was like, you know, she'll have the baby by then. She's not
getting right.
almost 42 weeks. And of course, she was still pregnant when I had to leave, and I was hysterical. And she was delivering at my hospital that I was working at the time.
Oh, no.
That
makes it worse.
Yes, she ended up having an emergency C-section, and it was absolutely necessary.
Yeah.
And one of my best friends was the charge nurse that day, and she told me later that it was her first day as assistant manager on the floor. And she, after the whole thing was done, because it was crazy, he ended up having no amniotic fluid.
Yeah. And
he was down in the 50s. It was like, it was an emergency.
Wow. Situation. Yeah.
And she sat in the bathroom afterwards just crying because she was like, this is Trish's grandson, you know? And yeah.
Right.
And you know, right. I remember I did not prepare Anna for a C-section at all.
Yeah.
Not at all.
Funny. Yeah.
I know.
Like, in your mind, like it's, you know, yeah, it's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. Like, yeah.
Yeah. So now that's why, even with my calm labor students, I'm very, you know, open with them and saying, I can't guarantee you a vaginal delivery because there are legit reasons why it needs to come for a C-section.
Right.
But I can guarantee that if you do the work and you hang out with us in happy hours, you're going to know the difference.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. And you'll know when it's necessary and when it's not.
Yeah. And even just being able to read the room, because if they come in and they're like, you know, you've been at this for a while and it's looking like you're probably going to end up in a cesarean, so why don't we go ahead and do it now before it's an emergency? That's a situation where you say, well, what are the other alternatives? What else can we try that we haven't tried? Can we take a break? Now, if the whole team, like with my daughter-in-law, comes running in, putting on their scrubs, grabbing their OR hats, and rushing, then you know this needs to be done.
Right.
You
know? And so, I'm like, I know what a rapid response looks like. And it's basically that.
Yeah, exactly. And it's just learning. Like, you know, I've had a couple of my VBAC students with their first baby. They can't, when I teach them that now, they're like, oh my gosh, like they told me that I had to have it, that it was urgent. And then they waited 4 hours while they got done with the scheduled cesareans. Well, that is not an urgent situation.
Right. Exactly. If they can wait till they're done with the scheduled, then you're not priority. You don't need to be priority.
Well, and the thing is for the majority of them, once they made the decision that they would do the C-section, the staff stopped trying anything.
To me,
like, you got 4 hours to kill. Let's try to see what we can do. You know, let's get you into some weird positions. Let's do this. Let's do that, you know.
Right.
So,
right.
Yeah, it's really maddening. But, you know, the majority of labor and delivery nurses, like, really don't take it upon themselves to learn outside the box.
Right. Like, they just try the normal things. And then, hey, what's wrong?
Why is my camera so blurry? See if I can get that not blurry.
Oh, hold on. Don't let Moxie get your sandwich.
I love the nickname. That I was going to tell you. So my son Elias, my entire pregnancy was Wyatt Nicholas.
Oh, and, okay.
I mean, all of his stuff from my pregnancy says Wyatt Nicholas, like his ultrasound, you know, back then in the video. But my father-in-law called him Wyatt Burp one too many times.
Oh, no.
And I was like, no, that's it. That is not going to be his name. And I was so mad because I loved him. Yeah. So he ended up being Elias, which, of course, he is Elias. So what have you.
Yeah, I actually really liked Elias, too. That was one of my top names. But our daughter is Eliana, so I figured we probably shouldn't have an Eliana and an Elias.
I'll tell you, you're so smart because I have a Gavin and a Grayson. And for a year of Grayson's first birth, when I started saying that G sound, Gavin would just naturally
fall. It would just come out. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So I do mix their names up a lot still. And Gavin's 24.
Yeah. I was going to say, I'm sure. Yeah. I'm sure that doesn't really change.
Yeah.
No. Sorry. Give me one second. Eliana, this one is fine.
No.
Okay. Where's the remote?
Not that one.
Okay, I have to find the remote first.
Tampons get smashed by, and they crossing the road, not looking both legs.
Oh, I don't know which one that is, honey.
Sorry.
Okay, hang on. Here, Wyatt. Yeah. Oh, I did think of a question then.
Yeah.
I realized. I think I had sent it on the Instagram question box, so you might see it there too.
Okay. But,
does, in what you've seen, does, so I, like I said, my goal would be to not have an epidural this time.
Yeah.
Does doing some of the IV stuff affect your likelihood of getting the epidural? Is it like, it's best to just go for all natural because I'll I'm not
the IV narcotics. IV, the IV narcotics really only work the first dose, but what they really mess with is your mindset and your game plan.
Yeah, that's
so what I've seen a lot of women who say they're going to do IV narcotics.
Yeah.
Don't want an epidural that end up with an epidural. It really can't. Get you off track mentally.
Yeah.
And the truth of the matter is it does not help much and it's really quick.
Right.
Really short acting.
Because I think
it's active labor. It doesn't. And the thing is, they're not going to give it to you.
Yeah.
If you get to the hospital when we want you to,
you're going to be passed.
Far along. Yeah. Because it gets into the baby's system. So if you deliver too quick after a dose of IV narcotics, they're going to have the NICU team there.
Right. Yeah.
And you won't get immediate skin to skin because they'll have to assess the baby.
Right. Right.
So to me, that little bit of relief for 2 minutes is not worth it. Mm-hmm. You know, because I don't know if you've ever taken narcotics for anything else. It kind of messes with your head a little. Mm-hmm. Makes you feel a little loopy. And when you get a little loopy during labor, so it really doesn't work in active labor much at all.
Yeah.
So if you're in your earlier stage of labor, really recommend you bust out the mindset tools and the coping techniques that we teach you, because those can make you feel mentally stronger and more prepared as the pain increases. So that when you get to the point where you hit transition, you have, if you are like, let me go ahead and get it earlier. When you hit transition, you're going to be begging for an epidural.
Yeah. Cause my only experience with it would have been Wyatt's, where I had, I think the two doses of Stadol, is it Stadol usually?
Yeah. Yeah.
And I had that like loopy, like very coherent, you know, but like loopy. And I actually like fell asleep for 30 minutes with it. And it definitely like, it made a
How
difference.
How many centimeters were you? Cause I bet you weren't.
Was before. And that I would have been between 4 and 7.
Yeah. I would say you weren't in active labor yet.
No. Oh, I'm sure. I'm doubt that I was. It helped with the back pain. And that's why I think I was like, oh, this is really nice. Okay. Well, this is going to be really helpful.
That's exactly what I was about to say to you is that if we can keep you at home and you go into spontaneous labor this time,
yeah,
And I would say that I would start doing, I have in the thing, I'm blanking right now. I feel like I'm not on top of my game because of being so out of whack for the last 3 weeks. Mm. Hold on for a second.
That's okay.
Or 2 weeks. Let me look and see where it's at. I think in the resource section, the downloads, I have the miles circuit. And you can start that at 37 weeks. And that will help get the baby into proper alignment, doing the purposeful positioning thing. Cause I think that this experience is going to blow your mind how different it is.
Yeah.
If you take out back labor after you've had back labor, you can freaking handle anything. Cause
yeah,
back
that's what labor, I'm hoping.
I mean, even when I had a mommy makeover is what I did. And I was in the OR for quite a few hours, and I went to South Florida. I was his OR nurse for a couple of years when I lived there. Yeah. So, I guess I wasn't thinking about this, but you're in a wonky position for quite a while. Mm-hmm. And all I could say when I came out and I was looped out was my back was hurting, and I had just had like my breasts, all this done. And all I was complaining back was my back. When you have back pain, it takes over your life.
Yeah, it really does. Yeah.
It's the same with labor. So, and the thing about back labor is really the only thing that can relieve it is finding a position that moves the baby's head off of that point that it's touching.
Yeah.
So I really don't think unless you have some sort of physical something where the baby
like anatomically.
That's the only reason I would foresee that, you know. Or the other thing that can happen is if your water breaks before labor starts, the baby can come down in a little weird position. But this time, you know some moves to do. But I really recommend like doing cat-cow, like doing some of those things, those movements that you can do now, doing prenatal yoga. We've got a great workshop in the expert recordings. The workshop recordings. Honestly, I can't believe she came in and did it for free.
Okay.
You guys can literally do it every day.
Yeah.
Never have to go to one. I mean, I love her. I actually have, she has a 4-pack that you guys can buy for 20, like online pre-recorded.
Okay.
And I have a discount for 5 somewhere if I find it. I need to put it in here. But she is incredible. She's a doula. She has a birth class that she teaches, and then she does prenatal yoga. So her whole class is all about the holistic amount, you know, like all of it, getting baby in good alignment, all of that.
Yeah.
I would recommend doing all those things because if we can get the baby in a good alignment, I think you're going to be completely prepared for this unmedicated birth.
And do you know, I know you've mentioned like chiropractor isn't a bad idea.
No, I think it's a fantastic
idea. So my husband has had adjustments before, but I actually never have. Do they say like up until a certain point you can't go, like if you're like 38 weeks, or you could go
like the day you have the baby.
Okay.
I have girls that go all the way to 42, and if I were you, I'd hop on that now because the relief it'll give you, there's so many different things they can do for you.
Oh, I'm sure. Yeah, I know. I have a friend who works for one, and I just never have done it. I don't have any reason. I just never have done it.
So I really regret not doing it when I was pregnant, but I do not, like, I have this weird phobia with like when people pop their knuckles and like crack their backs and stuff. So like, I've always been like, no, I'm not doing it, you know? So I think, but that is one thing, that and prenatal massage, those doing a pelvic floor therapist, those things, I wish if I had gone back, I would totally redo and do that.
Yeah.
The other thing is I would take the baby to the chiropractor too.
I've heard of that too. I don't know if you're familiar with Lancaster County, Pennsylvania at all, but it's like Amish country. We're surrounded by like my in-laws are Amish. So like I'm surrounded by natural, you know, holistic kind of like remedies.
I went there as a child. It's an amazing area.
Okay. Yeah, it is beautiful. It is. And but yeah, I'm a part of like some mom groups on Facebook and stuff, and people always, oh, my baby's doing this, like what do you recommend? And they're always like, go to the chiropractor, get them adjusted, like the you know, even the little babies, like they go through a lot coming down through a pelvis. So
it makes sense. Think about it, because their body is so flexible coming through the pelvis, like to get like having that adjustment and just the weird position they're in for 10 months.
Right.
It makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
A lot of sense to me.
Yeah. I do wonder with Wyatt, I suspected he had a little like reflux and stuff like that. And I do wonder, I'm like, oh, I wonder if I would have got him adjusted, if that would have made a difference with him. But anyway,
I know a lot of my friends that are in labor and delivery, like go right away, like couple days old.
Yeah. Yeah. They like, they're tiny when they go. Yeah.
Yeah. The other thing too, I just did an interview for the podcast with a girl, and she does the craniosacral massage for newborns.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that was fascinating.
I've heard, I don't know much about it, but yeah, I've heard that that is another good option too. But I would
say that where you're at, you probably have a lot of holistic options.
Yeah, I think we do.
I mean, you probably even have a compound pharmacy near you for when, like, for doing like the midwife's brew and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I didn't actually like research any of that before, because I didn't think I would need it, you know. Yeah. But I'm like, I just know so much more now, and so I'm like, okay, I know that those resources are here. It would be a matter of finding them, which wouldn't be hard.
I bet it wouldn't either. When I was pregnant with Gavin, where I lived in Tennessee, there was a Seventh-day Adventist community.
Okay.
And they had their own compounding pharmacy on there. Mm-hmm. And I remember going and talking to the lady, and she helped me pick out some stuff and for getting your body prepped. I think with baby number two, you don't need a whole lot. When you get, which I know this is baby three, but physically I call it baby number two.
Labor number two.
Yeah. But with more babies that you have, your labor can get very dysfunctional because your uterus is kind of worn out. So, But so that Gavin was my baby number four, and it was just, and he was breech. It was like everything that could have
gone on. Yeah. Where you think like, oh, it's, I know a lot of people are like, yeah, each baby you have, it gets faster and it can be easier and like whatever. But I'm like, yeah, but I've heard that there's, you know, so many people who it's like number three and they're expecting it to be like, oh, like 2 hour labor in and out, like done. And then that's like the wild card. Like something is different, or it ends up being like way longer for whatever reason.
Yeah. And it's because your uterus is a muscle. And when you wear out a muscle, because it's not like you work it out in between, you know, you can't strengthen
it. You don't exercise it.
Once it's worn out, my midwife said it's like a rubber band that's been shot too many times and it's just stretchy. So, you know, if you have something that's not your contractions have to tighten up, but if it's like wonky, then they're going to be, you might have like, you'll find with a third or fourth baby, the pattern might be really strange. For me, my third and on was like, I'm at 3 centimeters forever. And then I'm complete and pushing, but that 3 centimeters like I'm in real labor at 3 centimeters forever.
Yeah.
And then
I
have them.
And that feels long, I'm sure.
Yeah.
And you're like, this time I only had three. And then it's like, bam.
Yeah. Baby number two, baby number one, I got to the hospital at like 6 centimeters and had him a few hours later. Baby number two, I got to the hospital at 8 centimeters, had him 50 minutes later. And then baby number three, I ended up being induced, but my pattern was like, just weird. I mean, it wasn't a long labor, but it was like 8 hours and the other two were super short.
But compared to the other ones. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Right. I mean, it was a great labor, you know, but having had the other ones, I was the same way. I was like, I'm going to cough and this baby's going to be.
Yeah. Right. It's going to slide right out.
Not the case. Yeah. Babies, the more babies you have now, it's not like you go back to having like a first time mom's labor.
Mm-hmm.
But it's just unpredictable patterns.
that makes me think of, so I had an episiotomy with Wyatt. Okay. And I've been, you know, reading about like perineal massage and stuff, which like in my mind sounds brutal, but is it something, because with that being like more of a scar area, would it be weaker tissue or not necessarily?
Are you able to feel the scar?
It's hard. I honestly need to just like get a mirror and try to like really look, because it's really hard to feel like.
I would recommend that you start doing scar tissue massage on that. More than likely, let me grab my pelvis. I'll show you where it's probably at. So it's probably right here. Oh, sorry. That's like right here at the bottom of your vagina. Mm-hmm. Right there.
Yeah, that's where I'm picturing it. Okay.
So what you could do is so pretend that's this area. Just take your fingers on the inside and the outside, and I would just rub it for a few minutes every day. Okay. Soften up that scar tissue. But really the chances of you tearing again is even pretty slim.
Okay.
But I would definitely massage that tissue.
Yeah. Okay.
I feel like I just did a podcast, or maybe someone scheduled one. Let me see if I can see. I'm trying to remember.
I saw a pelvic floor PT had an instruction. I found one somewhere that had an instruction on direction to do it, frequency, time, and all of that. And
yeah, I'm sending you a link here too. I need to do a post on this, because I just did a recording with Anita. She's a pelvic floor physiotherapist. But I just saw this one too, and she was talking about it as well.
Okay. Oh yeah, I see.
I would definitely consider that.
Yeah. Okay.
I don't know how often. It probably will say in there how often though.
And I think I remember, I mean, maybe at this point it's not a big deal, but I remember her saying, starting at 30 something, I forget what exactly it was, but
yeah,
to be doing it.
I think that Anita recommends as soon as the scar is healed to start doing scar tissue massage. So obviously you're past that. Mm-hmm. I don't think it would hurt for you to do it. Just make sure your hands are clean and all of that. So,
right. Okay.
Yeah. But I would read that and see what it says. I have a feeling that you're probably fine to do it now, you know, because it's
right. What would it do? Yeah. Right. Yeah. It's not going to actually. I
think you'll have more luck the longer you do it. So,
right. That's kind of my understanding too. Mm-hmm. Oh yeah. Okay. I see. But yeah, I'm just like, in my mind, I'm like, oh man, that's going to be so uncomfortable. And it might be perfectly fine.
I don't know about the scar tissue massage, but I do know the perineal massage is not comfortable.
Right. Right.
Because if you're doing
and it. And that would be a bigger, that would be like a bigger area too. Cause you're going like around, right.
Yeah.
Even not
yeah,
just
you're
that.
Kind of doing 3 o'clock to 9 o'clock.
Yeah. Yeah. So I'm like, I know that would be a good idea. So speaking of like Lancaster County and natural stuff, I have a friend who was like, yeah, I did that starting at, you know, whatever weeks. And she did it with primrose oil maybe or something like that.
Mm-hmm, primrose
oil. Yeah. And she was like, I had no tearing. She's like, baby came out very smoothly. And it wasn't, you know, nearly like as long of a recovery after.
Yeah.
And so I was like, oh, maybe there is something to that. Cause I'm always
a combo of genetics.
Mm-hmm. Right. Exactly. Yeah.
That's the hard thing with anything like that, because there's nothing to compare her to.
Right. And there's no, like those kinds of things, those little natural remedies, there's not research either. That's like, can say that. But I'm like, if it doesn't actually hurt anything, I guess it, there's no reason to not try it.
I would really do the research about the primrose oil. If you're doing evening primrose oil already, I wouldn't want you to use too many. But the thing is that with VBAC moms, they don't recommend evening primrose oil.
I remember looking that up with Wyatt, and somebody had actually given me some capsules.
You can talk to your midwife though, because some midwives are fine with it, but I always recommend you guys talk to it.
Yeah.
Because I feel like if there is a risk of anything, like we said, there's really no studies on actual the benefits of it.
Right.
So if you add in a risk to it, then is it worth doing?
Right. Exactly.
No.
And so that's where I landed. I ended up not really doing it then with Wyatt, because I was like, well, I don't, you know, I want to have a VBAC. So I'm like, I don't want to do any more risks. If the only benefit of it is maybe not tearing, like I'd rather tear and be able to have him than potentially what, you know, whatever. So
that's my thought on it as well, but you can talk to your midwife, but the majority of them will say no to evening soil.
Yeah. That was, I think I remember when I asked last time, they were like, that even the midwives were like, well, you know, we don't know much about it, so we tend to say no type of a thing, not like a hard no, but
and I'm like you, like it's not going to up your chances of a successful vaginal delivery.
Right, exactly. Like,
but I would
tear, I tear. So.
But the thing about the evening primrose oil is I don't recommend you use it for perineal massage. I recommend you use like a good quality, like coconut oil. So the evening primrose oil is more for cervical softening. But as you know, we don't really use prostaglandins with you guys anyway. So that's where, you know.
Right.
So I feel like there's other oils you can use for perineal massage. I wouldn't use evening primrose oil.
Would you say that orally too? Because a lot of people say that they take it orally, the evening primrose.
You know, capsule. I'm not sure. I just in the VBAC lab, I say talk to your provider on this one because there's controversy. And to me, if there's a risk of harm,
then it's not worth it.
Because the truth is we don't really know if it works.
And I feel like I kind of land squarely in the middle with like being a nurse. I'm like, we have all the medical things, we have the research. But there's also this like natural, you know, holistic, homeopathic, like whatever component that is very prominent in our area for a reason. And so I'm not like totally against all those things, but I try and find a balance with that, because I know some of them are helpful and they are good. And
I think there's enough other things that you can do in place of evening primrose oil where you don't need to take that chance.
Right. Where it's not. Yeah, exactly. And it's not like
it's not a make it or break it. You know?
Yeah. Yeah.
So
am I considered a VBAC still? Am I considered
depends. Some doctors will classify you as one as a TOLAC.
Okay.
I know a lot that would just not.
Yeah.
But it is a part of your history. So.
Right. Because I feel like I've heard both and I'm like, okay, so what am I exactly? Because.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like they shouldn't, but it is a part of your history. So it's there, you know, and even in your own practice, you might hear different things. Mm-hmm. It's so crazy how vastly different the different providers are about things. But I know what was your specialty? I'm trying to remember. I know you.
I'm on a cardiac unit. Yeah.
The worst thing.
Every time very different world.
Every time I do ACLS, I'm like,
I'm literally doing that on Wednesday. I have to renew on Wednesday. So. I'm sure, because you guys, like for me, I'm like, a lot of this feels very applicable. And I'm like, oh yeah, I can remember this scenario where this was the case. And for you guys,
if I had to code an adult, I would probably die.
Yeah. And the same with like stroke. I was going to say our stroke training. I'm like, I feel bad for the labor and delivery nurses who have to do all of the stroke stuff, because it's like
not
9.9 times out of 10, you're not going to. And
I've had cardiac OB patients, but they're always connected to the telemetry floor. So it's not me doing that.
Right. Stuff. You're not monitoring them. Yeah. In that way. Yeah.
No, I'm definitely, I, because I've been a travel nurse for so long, I've tested it such weird places like Recert. And one time I did it in Atlanta and it was just me and a doctor getting recertified. Oh. It was so nerve-wracking.
That's awkward.
I know, but.
And as a doctor recerting, that's interesting.
Yeah, it was very awkward, but I think he was some kind of travel doctor too or something. Okay. Like traveled. I don't remember the story, but I just remember him being a doctor and it was so awkward.
Yeah. Oh, I'm sure. Even the doctors I know, like, kind of know, like, that would just be weird, even if I, yeah.
Yeah.
But
I get, but I get, I don't know. I never thought about it, but I guess they do have to recert too.
Yeah.
They probably just put it together.
They do. I've had some residents over the years, I think, in my, in my recert classes, like, also going through it. So
yeah, but when you do travel nursing, you recertify for things in awkward because you're not with the facilities.
Yeah, that's true. I never thought about that.
Yeah, so
you just have to do it wherever you are at the time.
Yeah, right? And it's a lot easier now. When I first started as a travel nurse, like, you could, you had, it was very far and few between to find someone who would recert you.
Yeah. Oh, that yeah.
Yeah. But anyway, well, do you have any more questions? It's so funny, when I first started doing happy hours and only one person would come, I'd be like, oh my gosh. But then I realized it's just sweet to have.
Yeah. Well, I'm like, I feel bad too, because I'm like, oh, like, you almost could have just not done it.
Oh no. I was telling Taylor, I've been so out of functioning. And I was like, it's me today, right? She's like, yep. And I was like, oh my God, I'm so excited, because I haven't done any communication with anybody in weeks. So.
Okay. Yeah. What's the on Thursday you're doing a, what was it? The natural, was it
a natural? I'm doing unmedicated birth in the hospital class.
Okay.
And that's then like we have a pumping class at 10:15, I think, or 10 a.m.
Okay.
There's two links for this one, but that was a mishap. So you can RSVP on either one.
Okay. Cause I think I put the unmedicated one in my calendar, because that would be like a live.
Yeah, that's just going to be me doing like a Zoom like this and like just going over my top tips of how I've done it, how I've seen patients do it. Okay. You know, not like the technical stuff, more the stuff like, this is what you need to do and this is what you need to think and this is what your atmosphere needs to be like, you know.
Yeah. All the things. Okay.
All right. Well, then I'll see you Thursday. Cool. And you know that you guys can always come. My VBAC moms can always come to the happy hours on Wednesday too. That the labor ones, everyone's invited to that one.
Right. Okay. Yeah. I'll have to remember that. Yeah. Sometimes I couldn't do the last evening one that we had, but I did the day one with Taylor.
Okay.
A few weeks ago or whatever.
So so this, whenever there's a happy hour, when the VBAC happy hour is daytime, then the calm labor will be evenings.
Rotates.
That way we don't have two nights during the week.
Yeah. Oh, that's what I was going to ask. That the pelvis that you showed me with the perineum, is that the vagina that you ordered?
You want to see it?
Or is that different? Yes, because I haven't seen it yet. I've heard about it so many times. But
it's so bad. Hold on.
That's so funny.
Yeah, I keep forgetting because I'm going to get it out at the end. It's just so awkward.
Yeah, right?
It's so bad. You're not even going to. I hate to even touch it.
It's probably like very accurate though, right?
Oh, I'm not touching it. I'm just leaving it in the box. Look at this. But look.
Oh, man.
You see?
Oh, it's like, is it like silicone?
I don't know what it is. It's gross. It's like a stress ball feeling. It's gross. But so the thing about it is that I got it to show perineal massage. So
yeah,
when I get over my fear of it.
Right. Maybe would it help if you put on gloves?
Yeah, probably.
Because the nurse part of you is like, okay, now I'm not touching the gross thing.
I probably should just put a pair of gloves in here.
Even though it's a mind
well,
game.
Well, and the other thing is, yeah. Well, like the other thing is it's a sex toy. So I know weirdo pervert.
That's probably half of it more.
All right. Well, it was nice meeting you.
That's funny. All right.
Bye.
Thanks. Bye. I'll see you later.